In a quiet Princeton auditorium in 1954, J. Robert Oppenheimer sat hunched before a security hearing that would determine his fate. The man who had led the creation of the atomic bomb now faced accusations of disloyalty from the very government he had served. This wasn't just any scientist being questioned. This was Oppie, the physicist whose name had become synonymous with both humanity's greatest scientific achievement and its most terrible weapon. As he testified, his piercing blue eyes peering through wire-rimmed glasses, the world witnessed a modern tragedy unfold. A brilliant mind caught between scientific triumph and moral reckoning, having famously quoted the Bhagavad Gita after witnessing the first nuclear test, "Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds." What makes Oppenheimer so compelling isn't just his scientific genius, but the moral weight he carried. Having unleashed atomic power, he later fought to contain its spread, embodying the 20th century's great contradiction. Unprecedented scientific progress alongside ethical questions for which science alone provided no answers. Born in 1904 to wealthy German-Jewish immigrants in New York City, Robert grew up in a luxurious Manhattan apartment surrounded by fine art. His germophobic mother, Ella, isolated him from other children, creating a precocious boy who collected minerals with scientific precision and corresponded with professional geologists by age 12. At the Ethical Culture School, he excelled intellectually while remaining socially awkward. This sheltered upbringing fostered an intellectually fearless yet socially insecure personality. When bullied at summer camp, where boys painted his genitals green and locked him naked in an ice house overnight, Robert endured the humiliation stoically, establishing a pattern of bearing suffering silently that would persist through later crises. His only physical passion was sailing, where he displayed a reckless confidence contradicting his shy demeanor on land. At Harvard, Oppenheimer subsisted largely on chocolate and beer, diving into physics despite no elementary coursework. His approach was unorthodox and intuitive rather than methodical, leaving gaps in his fundamental understanding that he later acknowledged. Oppenheimer hit rock bottom at Cambridge University in 1925. Despite his excitement to study under Europe's leading physicists, he fell into depression and left a poisoned apple on his tutor's desk. Though his father prevented his expulsion, a psychiatrist diagnosed him with dementia praecox, early term for schizophrenia, and declared his case hopeless. Quantum mechanics became his salvation. At Göttingen University in Germany, he found his scientific voice among physicists revolutionizing subatomic understanding. By 23, he had published 7 papers and developed the Born-Oppenheimer approximation, a fundamental contribution to molecular physics, transforming from suicidal student to rising star in just 2 years. Returning to America in 1929, Oppenheimer declared his two great loves were physics and New Mexico. At Berkeley, he elevated American theoretical physics from a desert to an intellectual center, attracting brilliant students called the Nim-Nim Boys, who mimicked his thinking hum. His Monday evening seminars featuring eggs a la Oppie with Mexican chilies, alongside philosophical discussions, created an irresistible intellectual atmosphere, despite his often ruthless criticism. The 1930s marked Oppenheimer's political awakening. Initially indifferent to politics, he was drawn into left-wing causes through Jean Tatlock, a Communist Party member. Through her, he supported Spanish Republican relief efforts and joined progressive organizations. Though never formally joining the Communist Party, these associations would later fuel accusations against him. The discovery of nuclear fission in 1939 transformed Oppenheimer's path. He quickly grasped that released neutrons could generate power or make bombs. By 1942, with America at war and fears of a German atomic bomb mounting, he was appointed to lead theoretical work on fast neutron research. When General Leslie Groves needed a scientific director for a secret weapons laboratory, he selected Oppenheimer despite security concerns about his left-wing connections. Groves saw in him not just brilliance, but the understanding that building an atomic bomb required practical, cross-disciplinary solutions. As I.I. Rabi later noted, it was a real stroke of genius on the part of General Groves to select Oppenheimer. At Los Alamos, Oppenheimer transformed from a theoretical physicist whom colleagues claimed couldn't run a hamburger stand into an effective administrator. Through charisma and intellectual force, he united diverse scientific minds toward a single goal, despite constant security surveillance due to his past associations. After Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Oppenheimer grew troubled by his creation. Meeting President Truman in October 1945, he confessed, "Mr. President, I feel I have blood on my hands," a comment that infuriated Truman, who later told Dean Acheson, "I don't want to see that son of a bitch in this office ever again." When the Soviet Union tested its first atomic bomb in 1949, America faced a decision about developing the hydrogen bomb. Oppenheimer's advisory committee recommended against the super, calling it a weapon of genocide, but Truman rejected their advice in January 1950, ordering its development. This decision marked Oppenheimer's downfall. Louis Strauss, an AEC commissioner humiliated by Oppenheimer during congressional testimony, began collecting dark words about Oppie. Edward Teller, bitter about Oppenheimer's opposition to the hydrogen bomb, told the FBI that Oppenheimer would do anything possible to delay the H-bomb program. By 1953, with Republicans in power and McCarthyism at its peak, suspicions led to formal charges questioning his loyalty and security clearance. The April-May 1954 hearing became a seminal Cold War document. For 27 hours, Oppenheimer faced questioning about past associations, political leanings, and communist connections. When confronted about mishandling a potential security breach, he responded, "I fear that this whole thing is a piece of idiocy." Distinguished witnesses, including George Kennan and Isidore Rabi, defended him. However, Teller delivered the most damaging testimony, stating he would feel more secure if vital secrets were in other hands. On June 29, 1954, the AEC voted 4-1 against Oppenheimer. While acknowledging his loyalty, they deemed him a security risk. The verdict shocked the scientific community, prompting protests from over 1,100 scientists and academics. The message was clear. Scientists who challenged state policies faced severe consequences. After the security hearing, Oppenheimer aged dramatically. His dark hair turned completely silver within months. Though he remained director of the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, he was effectively excluded from government's inner circles when scientific advice was most needed. President Kennedy's 1963 Fermi Prize represented significant rehabilitation, presented by President Johnson after Kennedy's assassination. By 1966, throat cancer from decades of chain smoking overtook him. After his death on February 18, 1967, his wife Kitty scattered his ashes in Caribbean waters where he had found rare peace. In 2022, the U.S. Department of Energy formally vacated the 1954 decision, acknowledging the fundamental procedural errors and bias and unfairness of the original hearing. This vindication came decades too late, but affirmed that America had turned against one of its most brilliant minds not for disloyalty, but for questioning whether scientific achievement alone could ensure security without moral wisdom.